Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we are live.
Hello.
We are live. I thought our host was on, but apparently he...
No, the host
is here. There he is.
All righty. Okay. Welcome. This is SightAndVisionRadio.com that presents the Ecumenical Health Council Report. And this is a show about healthy living, healthy eating, and a spiritual health lifestyle. And we want you to be able to know everything you need to know, everything you want to know, and everything you don't know about living healthy with a spiritual lifestyle. And here to introduce our friendly food health gurus is our hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee.
Well, you know, Reverend Radio Ray, before we came on the air, our guests were asking us how much money did I make. And so now I've been elevated to hostess with the mostest. It sounds like I'm getting more titles, but that paycheck isn't reflecting that. What do you think about that, Reverend Radio Ray?
Well, I think we will ask Pastor Duvall, do he have his healing oil with him today, and lay hands on the pocketbook.
Well, on that note, I am going to get to the meat of our show. Well, we have started the countdown. No, not to Christmas, but to the final 10 days of this election cycle. And our guest, Commissioner Raymond Smith, Chair of the Community Health Partnership of the Ecumenical Health Council, and Elder Willie W. Duvall, Vice President, are here to discuss the voting, hows, and whys. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
How are you both?
Thanks for having us.
Great. Wonderful.
It is our honor. Now, I always like to recap the important work that is done by the Community Health Partnership of the Ecumenical Health Council. So, Commissioner, in a sentence or two, can you remind our listeners of the work done by the Ecumenical Health Council?
Well, we're actually in place in the community of Bladensburg or the Port Towns to provide spiritual awareness with regard to the way God wants us to do the healthy eating, active living concept. And you know, we're actually affecting our seniors, our disabled community, our general residents, with every aspect of, you know, understanding what it means to be healthy, but also the concepts of what kind of foods that we are eating, because it has a lot to do with the chronic illnesses that we're faced with in our country.
Thank you so much. Now, on your website, it says that the vision for the partnership is access to health care, a safe community, roads, schools, playgrounds, and other services, and a healthy, safe environment. So why is voting coming under this health issue? Elder Duvall.
Well, because most people's attention seem to be on the national election, of course, that's important. But also, we need to be conscious of those who are being elected in the local government areas and those areas which are need most certainly attention in regards to healthy eating and active living, and not only Port Town, but in other areas. We're dealing with food deserts. The main grocery stores are moving out of areas and leaving, especially taking away the possibility of walking to the store or the seniors being able to get to a quality store, and most certainly the major stores are moving, but more fast food places are coming in, and places that are really not giving and selling and having available sustainable food of the body for most people. So therefore, in this election, we need to be conscious also of what is the stand that the local persons running for office, what's their importance.
I think that is so important, and you're right. A lot of us have focused on the national election, and we forget that part of healthy living is living in a walkable neighborhood, playgrounds, a healthy and safe environment, and these are all civic responsibilities.
Right.
Commissioner, while the right to vote is integrated throughout the fabric of our nation, it has not always been easy for persons with disabilities. What is the challenge for persons with disability to cast their vote?
Well, one, accessible voting polls was one of the issues. You know, people go to those polls and they don't have privacy. That was definitely the case at one point. That has changed a lot now. But then the next piece of it is they need to have transportation getting to these polls. You know, that's,
so you raised
two important
issues. What do you mean privacy? I mean, don't we all go into the voting booth and our vote is cast in privacy?
Well, I mean, you would think it would be, but most cases. And I'll let the pastor talk to you about something that he experienced from one of his colleagues. But we actually, you know, if you can't read or see it, then someone's going to be helping you do your voting on a paper ballot. And oftentimes, when you go to these voting polls, and this has happened before, the voting booth was not working; it wasn't accessible to you. So then you had to transition to going to old school, which is pen and paper.
Okay.
So then you lose your proprietary.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Elder Duvall, he said that you have a story to tell us. What is your experience?
Well, mine is not that pleasant, but one of the senior mothers of the church shared with us. She asked for a moment, could she speak in the worship service on Sunday past? And she just had a message for not only the older members of the congregation, but the younger ones, too. She had gone to early voting in her area, and she went in and spent time to do what she needed to do. And when that was finished and she was getting ready to leave, I'm happy she turned around because what she voted for was not what was on her screen.
Oh, wow.
Yes, the other name, and I'm not going to go into all that.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about. But right. That's the name, and she was livid and most disturbed, and she called some folks over to see what was going on. And mostly I guess they could do was be apologetic and whatever, but and I'm not going to waste your time with that, but everybody keep talking about trying to assume that the elections are going to be rigged, and seem like the person that's doing the most talk about that, it was the person, his name that appeared on her screen. And she,
wow.
And that's not how she voted. And this is one of the senior mothers, but she's one who has a fighting spirit. And she was pretty upset about it. So she's telling everybody, watch as well as pray.
Yes.
That was not a good thing.
Elder Duvall, as a spiritual leader, there's a strong rationale for sitting out this election, whether it is the candidates or the process. You know, we're all fatigued. Do you believe that believers, Christians, have a privilege or a duty to vote?
Oh, I believe Christians have a duty to vote. If you remember, there's scripture in Matthew 22, I believe, 21, where it says, render unto Caesar that the Caesar's, and unto God that which belong to God. So we have the right to, and then we have a need to, as Christians and believers. because as a Christian now, don't put it in blood, but as a Christians, we're supposed to have a conception of what's right and wrong, not who's popular or whatever. Voting on popular, you might end up in trouble, but who is dealing in right and wrong? And as a black African American Christian, even maybe that's not where you are, but we most certainly need to vote when you think about those that died and were beaten for that right for us as black people to vote. But, you know, I could tell them that you must vote your conscience, but for God's sake, get up and get out and vote.
Absolutely. Well, Commissioner and Elder Duvall, do you believe that requiring the elderly and persons with disabilities to have a government-issued ID is a hindrance to voting? Commissioner, I'll start with you.
You say a hindrance?
A hindrance.
Because they have an ID?
No. In some states, it has been required that the elderly and persons with disabilities be issued a government ID. And the reasoning is that they have been told that they, in order to ensure that they are registered to vote. And the rationale has been that it has become a hindrance to persons with disabilities and to seniors in order to have a government-issued ID. And my question is, do you believe that a government-issued ID, requiring that a senior and a person with a disability have a government-issued ID, is a hindrance to voting?
Well, I mean, honestly, you know, first of all, if you're an American citizen, you're supposed to have an ID.
Mm-hmm.
And your ID most of the time comes from your federal government. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, what's really the issue? You're supposed to already have an ID identifying who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
what are
I
they
might,
doing? Huh?
If I might say, and I think Sister Renee might be alluding to that, that it's going to be a problem because so many disabled people and elderly people are yet to have their ID.
Okay, okay. They don't have them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have them yet.
Yes.
Yeah. I can definitely see where that could be a problem if they don't have it.
It's going to be a
problem.
Because,
you know, I mean, you know, as a right in this country, you know, I mean, it's still also a privilege for you to have an ID.
Well, it is. And you know, here again, with people on fixed incomes, and unless you have been on a limited budget, the $15 or $20, one, to get to the place to get the ID, to purchase the ID, and then to get back home can be, you know, a little bit of a challenge. And so
in some
states, they have said that requiring people to have a government-issued ID is part of a voter suppression movement. Well, we won't settle it here, but we do want to raise the question that for the populations that we serve, the disability community and the senior community, having an ID can be part of a movement to suppress the vote. So Elder Duvall.
I totally agree.
Go ahead, Pastor.
There are so many who are saying, this was on this morning's news, that they still do not have it, and the time has now passed for them to get it. It's going to be a hurting thing on Election Day. I just believe so.
It truly is. Well, once again, we have to pay our bills, so we're going to turn it over to our host, Reverend Radio Ray, to do our identification and let people know to whom they are listening. And when we come back, we have a few more questions about voting. Reverend Radio Ray?
All right. You're tuned in to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, and you're online with blogtalkradio.com/marketingpulpit. and you're listening to this show, which is, and you know, and I have to practice and practice and practice this ecumenical health council monthly report with our host, our two guest hosts, Reverend, well, he's more than a reverend now. He's Pastor Willie Duvall of Word of God Community Church. And we also have co-host is, and I try to put these two C's together, Commission Coach Ray Smith. And they come and they're with us every fourth Friday at 3 o'clock East Coast time. And also you can listen to them on demand at our site andvisionradio.com. And Ms. Renee will also give you their website. Now, they'll give you their website. But also they have a program every Monday, the second Monday, third Monday, and fourth Monday. And I'm not sure when the fifth Monday creep in like it did this month, if they have the program that is housed at Word of God Community Church. Now, it's not run by Word of God Community Church. It's housed there. And that address is 4109 Edmonston Road, and that's in Blakensburg, Maryland. And they'll give you that time when it is, and they'll also give you, again, the website. And also, they will be able to come out. If you come and look and observe what they do on those Mondays, they can also set up this program with your church also. So Ms. Renee will give it back to Ms. Renee, and she will also inquiry about the time, again, the place, and the website. Back to you, hosted with the mostest and maybe a raise in 2017. Ms. Renee.
Wow. Okay. Sounds like a plan. All right, gentlemen. Is early voting and or voting by mail a better alternative than going to the polls on election day for both seniors and persons with disabilities? And I guess this is just really an opinion question.
Well, this is Commissioner Ray Smith. I would actually say that it is. It's actually an advantage. Because, like you said, if they're dealing with financial issues and some of them are limited in terms of mobility, then that would be an easier access for them. Mm-hmm. It really would be.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. I agree. And that the ones I've already spoken with or have, those that have talked to me said that they haven't had to stand in line for all these hours, that they've been able to go in, do what they had to do, and leave. So that is great. That is great.
Yeah. Well, you know,
one
a friend
other
of
thing
mine
too,
yesterday,
Ms. Renee,
from Annapolis. Yes, go ahead, Commissioner.
I was going to say one of the other things is that if you are disabled, most of the times if you go to the voting polls, the person there are acknowledging that, and they put you right up in front of the line and get you in and out as soon as they possibly can. And usually they designate an area where you can actually go ahead and get that done so that you're not waiting for any length of time. So that's a nice gesture.
Commissioner, do you believe that a person by voting either by mail or early voting has a better chance of having their vote to be private? I think that was a concern you had raised early in the interview. Do you think that that makes it a more...
absolutely.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, because you're doing it within yourself. You don't have to worry about somebody looking over your shoulder or, you know, if you're trying to get help. Because, you know, when you go into those polls, things are kind of fast and furious. People are, you know, they're trying to get in and get out. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and people with disabilities, you got to slow down. They are taking their time to do it. That's one of the greatest things I think we've been taught as you start dealing with the disabled community is patience.
Yeah. Well, I just want to let people know, and I guess because of the nature of this particular election, a friend of mine voted yesterday, which was the first day to vote early voting in Maryland. She lives in Anne Arundel County, which is Annapolis, and she stood in line for an hour, even on early voting. So give yourself plenty of time to vote, and I think the commissioner made the point is that if it is going to, it may take you a little bit longer. You may need to read the issues and the and even to acclimate yourself to the voting equipment, because every jurisdiction is different. Every
That's
jurisdiction
right.
is different. Okay, this is a question for both of you, Elder Duvall and Commissioner. Well, now, we're not discussing for whom to vote, but we are looking at our civic responsibility lining up with our Christian responsibilities. Now, Washington, D.C. is considering assisted suicide or death with dignity to join five other states in approving this procedure. Should Christians vote on issues of this magnitude or render unto the culture or render unto Caesar, what will be will be? And I know this is a hot topic, so I'm going to give you plenty of time to share your thoughts on this.
Well, my answer would be scripturally based, that as far as the assisted, I don't want to use the word suicide, but
well, they call it death
the,
with dignity also.
Yeah, death with dignity, and I can say something about that, but I won't. I think there's some scripture that alludes to you can't take what you didn't give. And but I understand, I'm not going to be foolish, I understand what their wishes are. But I still have to believe, and I hope no one's offended, I still believe that God is a healer, even if it's in the last moments. So don't give up. Don't give up. That's Willie. That's me personally. But I do understand what they want to do.
Commissioner, again, you know, it's not an easy topic, and Elder Duvall, I appreciate you wrestling with this very thorny issue, because it is a thorny issue, and, you know, the issue that comes down yes or no or black or white, they don't exist anymore. There are so many shades of and so nuanced as to what we
That's
need
right.
to do. But, Commissioner, I'd like to get your thoughts on
well, you know, the word God tells us thou should not kill. I mean, if someone's going to, you know, and again, you know, it is a real tough, you know, situation. People would have different situations. And we know that, you know, you have terminal illnesses and things like that. You don't want to see people suffering. However, you know, again, we know that the decision has been normally generated through those families. And being that now here we have our government getting involved, you know, there's supposed to be a separation between state and government and the church. So if we're supposed to be following the mandates of our Lord and Savior, again, the choice becomes the individual's family. I don't think the government should be getting involved with that.
Well, and I think that's the whole point. You know, we always point to the government, and we keep forgetting that the government is
right.
supposedly us. And, you know, the challenge for us as believers is that how do we reconcile what we're called to do in our civic duty? And that's why I posed the question to Elder Duvall as a spiritual leader, because we all have our opinions. But, again, he has the gravitas of having of being a spiritual leader and having to wrestle with this situation, both as a spiritual leader and as a man who is also a citizen of this of the country. So, you
no,
know,
also
it, you
remember
it,
now,
it's not
he's
an easy
also
answer.
A husband and he's also a father.
Exactly, and that's why we raised this question, because no matter who we are in society, we are challenged by the issues of the culture today. I mean, whether it's homosexuality or whether it's death with dying or some other things that just aren't black and white. You know, we are challenged on both sides. Well, sounds like I'm interviewing myself instead of giving you a chance. But in light of our time constraint, I do want to turn it over to Reverend Radio Ray. I hear him taking copious notes there. So I'm sure he has questions to ask you. Reverend Radio Ray?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Renee. You know, I want to go back to the voting and tie that back into what the Ecumenical Health Council does about sharing information on health. Now, I used to live in a desert, a food desert area.
Mm-hmm.
And I never paid attention to this before, but recently I have moved to a walk friendly community. But I have noticed,
mm-hmm.
yeah, walkable community. But I noticed, and this is why you say it's so important to vote at the local level, because
mm-hmm.
I noticed between the two places where I live, the people that the politicians that that talk about health, look healthy, eat healthy, they represent, and the community reflects those people. Now, in the food desert area where I used to live, and I don't want to call any names, those persons never talked about health. They never, you know, I mean, that just wasn't their platform. But I notice where I live now that the politicians talk about health. They go to the gyms. They in the community. The community is really involved. The community is proud of themselves. And also, so it is important that at the local level we make people understand how important it was. And I was at a business the other day, and a gentleman and some kids, young men was there. I guess he was like 25 or something. And there was an older gentleman there. He was like in his 60s, and he was asking young kids about voting. And they said, oh, well, you know, neither one of the people worth anything. And the gentleman said, he said, if you all don't vote, it would make me cry. You all have no idea what blacks went through to be able to get the vote for y'all.
Right.
So, and Pastor, and you
right.
alluded to that, but what I want to ask both of y'all, what is it that we need to do in the black community or not doing in the black community to make them, to have the young people understand to be involved in politics that is going to make a difference in their community? Because if you don't vote and understand what's going on, a lot of the programs that in the communities, school funding, funding for food program, funding for health initiative, that's what's reflected in your community. So back to you all about the question, how do we influence or how do we educate the young people, the high school people, kids, the and I guess the youngest we start working with them, the better it is. So how do we do that?
My answer to you, Reverend, is that we start doing what is not done anymore. Start teaching our young people their history.
Mm.
History, black history. When I was coming along, that was a subject. We had to learn it. I'm always so pleased with the Jewish people. When the kids are old enough to understand, they start teaching them about the Holocaust, teaching them their history. Our young people, Reverend Ray, don't know their history. We're talking about folks dying and suffering for our freedom to vote. Most of our young people don't know nothing about that. It's not taught to them anymore.
They don't.
And so neighborhoods, the communities, neighborhoods, they need to do it again.
Okay, real quick, Coach, because we hear the music.
I was getting ready to say, the biggest thing is, and Razor and Reverend Razor, I think you understand this. Our families are failing to provide information. It's the parents. Our parents have been very negligent with regarding getting that information and sharing it with their children. They make it seem as though their children are, you know, so ignorant that they don't understand how to manage money. They're not teaching them that. They're not teaching them the principles of just being honorable. Because
okay.
parents aren't at home to do these things. And they pretty much just kind of let all this stuff go. And it's hurting us. Okay, I mean, right well, now, our like... children don't know who they are, as you were indicating earlier, Pastor.
Okay, that sounds like a show of step. All right, thank you.
God bless
all right.
you. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. You've been listening to Fight Decision. This is the Latinx Talk Radio Show. God bless.
All right.
Thank you all. Thank you all. Very good. Very good show. Thank you. Thank you.